Wholeheartedly, we welcome all of you in the precious name of the Lord. I would like to read a word from Titus 2. Titus 2 from verse 11. Titus 2 from verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. We bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, with all our hearts we thank you for it, that this read word has become truth. The grace of God appeared unto all men, but not all accept it. Salvation is here, but not all let themselves be saved. Faithful God, we consecrate unto you this hour. We consciously place it under the leading of your Holy Spirit, and we dearly ask you that you purify us, that you sanctify us, and that you fill us with the Holy Spirit. Faithful Lord, create yourself in our midst an atmosphere in which you feel well. Speak to our hearts as a friend speaks with his friend. Open our understanding for your word, for the time in which we live, for the message which you have given, O Lord. We ask you, be nigh to us. May the precious blood of the Lamb cover all of us, covering us, O Lord. For therein is redemption, forgiveness, and purification. And let your word go forth, sanctify us. In your truth, thy word is the truth. We pray for all who cannot be here today, and for all who will hear this speech. May you join us more deeply with you and with one another. You know the requests of each one of us, O Lord. Hardships, petitions, sickness, troubles. You know, O God, of all what can be in the hearts or in the lives of a brother or of a sister. Also for this, we ask you very consciously, intervene, answer the prayers of your people. Answer, O God, answer visibly, feelable, audible, experienceable, O God. We bring you now our petitions that you all know. We bring them to you, Lord, before your holy throne of grace, by faith and in the confidence that you heard us and that you will give for what we prayed for according to thy word and according to thy will. To you we say thanks in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. How nice that we're not bound to any form, just giving room to the Spirit of God. And as brothers, esteeming the other higher than ourselves. Also, this is a gift from the Lord. He has laid it into my heart. I appreciate all my brothers with all my heart. And what would I wish more than that divine fire would already burn in our hearts, and everyone in a mighty way would be used. Together we look up to the Lord. The evening crowns the day. We say by faith, the most wonderful is yet to come. The most mighty is yet to come. God will once more shake heaven and earth. This is His word. This is His promise. And we have, during the Easter days, read from a sermon of Brother Branham. And therein he sets forth that everything what God has said in His word, it's like a law of the Spirit. It has the power in it to realize, to fulfill, to bring forth what is promised and written in it. And this is in 100% conformity that God spoke and it happened. Not one word that God has spoken ever returned void. Not only in the creation, also when the Lord walked this earth, not one word returned without having achieved something that He has spoken. When He said to the leper, "Be clean," then the leper was clean. When He said to the blind, "Receive your sight," the blind could see. When He said to the storm, "Be calm," it was still and was calm. And the disciples said to one another, "Who is this one that even the wind and the waves obey Him?" Every word that came over His lips did not return unto Him void. It always accomplished what was spoken. When He stood before the grave of Lazarus and cried out, "Lazarus, come forth," then He came forth. The word of the Lord, it cannot be dissolved. It cannot just disappear somewhere. The word of the Lord was sent for the purpose to manifest the will of God, point one, and to accomplish the will of God in those who hear it and are spoken to by God. Amen. If we understood what was just said now, these are the two things that just belong together. The word of God reveals unto us the will of God. And then the will of God is manifested according to the word of God by the power of God in our life. It simply happens. That means it simply happens what the Lord has said. Oh, could we have just more faith to trust the Lord more? And I tell you also wherein, that we today deal with the same word that God ever spoke and that was written in the Old and in the New Testament. The word most certainly didn't become different. It has today the same meaning, the same power. It is correct today, just as on the day when it was spoken. Now God wants to lay a living faith into us. He wants to anoint our lips. And now we come to the point. Anointing our lips, for the word was given under the anointing and inspiration of the Spirit. Holy men spake as they were driven by the Holy Ghost. Now God needs holy men who are under the same anointing under which prophets and apostles were, to speak out the same word in the same authority, by the same inspiration, in the same faith, without hesitating and without doubting, looking up to God, knowing the word that we preach is not the word of a man, but God's word. And Paul at that time, he wrote to the Thessalonians, "You didn't receive the word that we preached unto you as the words of men, but as it is in truth, as the word of God." We are dealing with God and God's word, and by it, with creation power, with redemptive, with healing, with saving, with the healing power of God. Everywhere where God was at work, people experienced Him in the soul, in the spirit, and in the heart. We all, who we have the great privilege to hear God's word in this purity and clarity, we owe it to the Lord to dedicate ourselves fully to Him, to surrender ourselves to Him and say, "Lord, have Thou Your own way with us." May the word that we receive, that You revealed unto us, may it not again become somehow a dead letter about which we philosophize or which we interpret. May the word live it out and bring forth what it contains, what the promise or the promises that are written therein actually declare. After all, the word of God is a proclamation. It's a revelation of the will of God for us. And therefore, we also know what God intends to do. When this word was quoted from 2 Peter 3, verse 10, there really, in that moment, a woe touched me. Everything is so wonderful, and a person who only reads that verse could then ask the question, what has the nature done? What is nature's fault with that it is included into the judgment of God? Especially then, when we think on the beautiful Switzerland, you would have a hard time to understand why the judgment of God shall come upon everything. And when I pondered upon this thought, a bit wistful, then suddenly the thought comes, just read on. It doesn't remain like this. Something more beautiful is coming, something more glorious, something that remains comes forth. The judgment with fire is most certainly not the end. It is just the end of the old epoch, the end of the old world, of the old earth, of the sinful world. I read some verses on in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Amen. You don't have to worry. Should the fire, and also here, one has to read very precisely. And I do this now on purpose, so that you have no trouble. I read on purpose the whole passage, 2 Peter 3 from verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And I promise you that no one will complain. We will all be delighted of that and about that, what God will do, what he will bring forth. Yes, what he will speak into existence through his word. But here we are already at our subject. On the way here, some thoughts came to me. I've said, Lord, about what shall I speak? And you all know, the prophet Isaiah was once also in a similar situation. And he cried to the Lord, what shall I preach? And then came the answer, preach. All flesh is grass, and as the flower of the field, the wind blows over it, and it withers, and is no more. Also him, the thought seized him inwardly, what shall I preach? Then the thought came to me, how many preach in this time of the end time, without knowing the end time message, without having the least thought what God has promised in his word. And the strange is always therein that the pious world kills the prophets of God, and even its character assassination. The true men of God are killed by the pious fire brigade that always comes from the clergy. They are silenced. The messengers of God who have the thus saith the Lord, they are cast out and are called all kinds of names. And yet, the pious garment is worn without understanding that God has a plan, that he sends his word to his servants and prophets. We touched upon it briefly yesterday in Salzburg. What a privilege that we may believe, as the scripture has said, whether people resent us or not, we know in whom we believe. We know what we believe. We believe God. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe the whole Old and New Testament. We believe that God has sent his servants and prophets at all times to speak to his people. But we also know that they were misunderstood, that they were rejected, because our Lord said, where would a prophet be whom you did not persecute? Where a righteous whom you didn't kill? From the blood of Abel up to the blood of Zacharias, The blood of all the saints is found among you. What was it? The prophets of God were carriers of the divine seed. They received the word of God. They carried it and they left it unto us. Did Isaiah lay a finger on someone? You all know. In Hebrews 11, it is written that they were even sawn asunder. And there, Brother Branham says in a sermon, the sawing asunder refers to the prophet Isaiah, who was laid in a hollowed out tree trunk, and then he was sawn asunder like wood is sawn. Men of God, carriers of the word, to them the word came that we appreciate today with all our hearts. They were staying in caves, wandering around in the wilderness. The world did not value them. But there were people who received the precious seed which they carried until this day. And to these people we may belong. Let us compare here these both similar names that were made known in our generation. One is being celebrated by all the world, and the other is rejected by all the world. And here we must make our decision. And I believe I may say, God made it already for us. We don't need time to think it over. In that moment, and also this our brother testified of, when he read the first sermon, he was done. The same I testify of. Thousands upon thousands testify of this all over the world. And what was upon my heart at that time? The first sermon that I translated of Brother Branham was Recognize the Day and Its Message. Either we recognize and are recognized by God, we receive and are received by God, or we bypass what God does and God bypasses us. We cannot bypass the word and then shake hands with God and say, good morning, here I am. This doesn't work. God is bound to his word. He sent his word and made them well. In his word is teaching, correction. Everything is in his word. Revelation of all mysteries. I don't know if the beloved sister is here, who earlier in the restaurant was reading in Revelation 10. God bless you, sister, wherever you are. She had, in her old age, a Bible with a small letter size, and I looked in it and already thought by myself, very interesting. I wished I could in that age also read so nicely, namely this small letter size. And when I bent over, she told me, Brother Frank, I read right now Revelation 10, namely about the seven thunders, but you don't believe the seven thunders. And I was frightened. I got frightened. And I said, my sister, I believe every word of God. And I believe that the seven thunders, as they are written there in Revelation 10, utter their voices and will be fulfilled. And she looks at me and was very surprised. But then I added, all the interpretations about the seven thunders that people give, I don't believe one of them. This is the big difference. But I don't hope that I have to speak Swiss German here to be understood. Then I would have to learn one more language, and this would be too late. So we hope that we understand one another by the Spirit of God. We believe Revelation 10 from A to Z, but certainly not the foolish interpretations. Today they are this, tomorrow that. Most certainly not. We are too good for that. We wait until the Lord in sublimity comes down, putting his foot as the original owner upon land and sea. Here I am, it's mine. And then the seven thunders will utter their voices. We have time. We can wait. We don't have to open up a religious business here. We can believe God. We entered into the rest of God. Oh yes, with all my heart, I believe in the seven thunders of Revelation 10. But I believe that they will be fulfilled in that connection as it is written. The sisters who leave now, they believe with all their heart. They just have to go to the train station. God bless you. They said it earlier to me. Just that you don't think that the people go home when such a wonderful word is preached. The people remain here, and the hour will still come when they will come in during the sermon to hear the word of God. So mighty the sermon will be, and the Spirit of God will penetrate them. Don't you worry. All that will come. God bless you, brother. How happy we may be to believe the Lord and to remain sober. Also, what concerns the ministry of Brother Branham, to know the greatest ministry that ever was on earth. And yet, we don't decorate our lounge with photos. And yet, we don't make a cult with a man. We don't have the spirit of idolatry. We have the Spirit of God. God has sent a prophet. Not that you say, oh, what a wonderful prophet. No. As John was pointing to Christ, so this man pointed to Christ and has put the revelation of Jesus Christ upon the lampstand. And we all may see now the glory of God with an unveiled face. The veil of Moses, the veil of the Old and New Testament was all over. It pleased the Lord to take away this veil, to pull the veil, and to give us the greatest of all revelations. The soberness that God has given us in connection with this is also very precious to know. God chooses people who didn't want at all, but they had to go because He, the Almighty One, commissioned them. And so we can place everything by the grace of God. We know He brought the message. He has put the promises upon the lampstand so that we, in these days, from the Word of God, can receive the divine teaching, no interpretation, but revelation of the Word, revelation of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, what we once for all have to take into our hearts, or what we have to get laid into it, is the absolute certainty that God received us, pardoned us, that we are His possession, that on Calvary the full price was paid, that nothing is left, that we in Christ were reconciled with God. And as reconciled ones, as children of God, as sons and daughters, we can cry out, Abba, Father. We have, by this, received the free access to the throne of grace. We read in the Gospels, and the veil in the temple was torn. But if we remain on this side and do not enter into the presence of God, then what good is the knowledge to us? The knowledge must be joined with faith and faith will bring us into the possession of all things. Only the way of faith is safe, as the German song goes. You all know this scripture. I read it to you from Romans, because it's about the righteousness of God that stands on the foundation of faith and is given to us. Romans chapter 3. Just take it today as you would hear it today for the first time. Let it speak to you in such a way as if somebody would come now for the first time with a divine message to you, as you would never have heard it before and would hear it today. Let yourselves be overwhelmed by this word. May it speak to us in such a way as never before. That divine certainty comes into our hearts by the Spirit. Romans 3 from verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. That believe, and he who believes gets happy. He who believes gets saved. Whoever believes gets help. Whoever believes will experience the miracles of God. We believe, but our belief is somehow paralyzed. I read the last part again. The righteousness of God is manifested. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all. For you, for all, for everyone, and comes upon all them that believe. Do you believe today? Then this righteousness of God is given to you today. It is written already in the prophet Joel, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he who believes cannot be put to shame. Faith is connected with salvation, and salvation with faith. Not man's righteousness, not the righteousness of works, but I wished I could right away find the place in Job where it says, and God gives to man back his righteousness. Oh yes, here we have it. Job 33. Listen what this man of God said. Job 33. Easter is just behind us. May it be amongst us and in us. Job 33 from verse 23. If there be a messenger with him, a mediator, one among a thousand, to show unto man his righteousness, then he is gracious unto him, and says, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Amen. Deliver him, the advocate, the mediator, one among a thousand. He intercedes for man and says to God, deliver him, give him back his righteousness. I have found a ransom for him. Amen. A wonderful word. Do we all believe it? Did we all experience it? God has found a ransom through Jesus Christ our Lord. I also read verse 25. In the Old Testament is already the gospel. Hallelujah. Praise God. Verse 25. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's, he shall return to the days of his youth. Who wants to still say that Brother Branham was in the wrong when he saw the redeemed multitude dressed in white on the other side, and all were young? God has found a ransom, and all who were reconciled with God, they shall return to the days of their youth. There will be no trace anymore of sin, trouble, and death shall be no more, and no crying and no sorrow will be there. For he who sits on the throne says, "Behold, I make all things new." Is this not wonderful? God used these men. They had to walk deep ways, but they also expressed deep thoughts of God. And if we in these days have to walk deep ways to recognize the depth of God and to experience it, then thanks be to God for the deep ways. God has ways that He walks with us. Where was it? Somewhere I read it. No one can choose his way. It must be somewhere in a song. I continue to read here. Verse 26. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him. And he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness. Nice. Amen, my brother. Our brother here in the first row says, nice. Amen. This is not only nice, this is true, this is glorious, this is wonderful. He has found a ransom. He rendered unto man his righteousness. And of such a man is then written in verse 27, that person sings to others, saying, I have sinned and falsified what is right, but I was not punished according to what I deserved. God redeemed my soul from going down to the pit, and my life sees the light. Praise be to our God. This our brother Job said, the man of God who had to walk such deep ways. He expressed these thoughts here. God has redeemed my soul from going down to the pit. Just say it loud or silent. God redeemed my soul. Another songwriter sings, I am redeemed and I may glorify it. Hallelujah. We don't go down. We ascend. For Paul says, this we say unto you as a word of the Lord. Amen. As a word of the Lord. That's thus saith the Lord. A word of the Lord is yes and amen. This we say unto you as a word of the Lord. The Lord will return with the trump of God, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we, who we are alive and remain, we shall be changed. And together we will meet the Lord in the air, in the clouds of heaven, to then be with the Lord at all times. If I may just go back to the sermon of Brother Branham, he said, every word of God is a law. It is executed. It can never be broken or never be taken back. Every word of God is executed. It's the will of God. And God is the executor of His will. He fulfills what He promised. He keeps what He promises. So, those who sleep in Christ don't have to worry, and we, who we are alive and remain, also not. We have a word of God here, a word of God that cannot be broken. When the day and the hour comes, then the word will be fulfilled. Nothing and nobody will hinder it or stop it. No, God has said it, and so it will be. It stays like this forever. Amen. Therein our faith rests. Our faith is not haunting up here. Our faith has become a revelation in the heart. A man believes with his heart and confesses that what he believes in the heart with his mouth, and then he gets saved. And right this we need in our days. What we believe with our heart, we want to confess unreservedly with our lips. For I tell you the secret, as long as we only have it in the heart, but are too cowardly to speak it out, then the devil can still fool us. But if we dare what we believe in the heart, speak out, that this becomes our personal testimony, what God said in His Word, in that moment, the devil has to flee and say, here I can do nothing anymore. This person believed God. He can believe me no more. Amen. And such people God wants to have, who believe with all their heart, but then are no more afraid to confess it with a mouth, to confess what they believe with a heart. You know, this applies to salvation, to healing, to the many areas that God has with us and that we find in His Word, up to the certainty that we belong to them who at the last trump, who will just hear the voice of the Lord and who will be part of it. When then this certainty comes into your heart and you feel it's a speaking of the Spirit, not with tumult, very gentle, the certainty comes. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And my eyes shall see God. We didn't have any funeral today, but maybe we had. For we all have to die with Christ. Without death, there's no new life. But that's how it really says here. The proclamation. It should be in Job 17 or 19. Yes, in Job 19, here is truly written. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, when of nobody will be seen anything anymore. Then the Lord will still be seen and heard, highly exalted above everything. And then all will come forth who were hiding themselves. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And every knee shall bow before God. But here it says of Job, he expressed it in a wonderful way. I know that my Redeemer liveth. In that moment, when he did what he believed in his heart, when he spoke it out with his mouth, then he had the victory. From that time on, God began to turn his fate. Dear brother, dear sister, don't look on yourself and also not on me. Look to the Lord. Look to the Lord. Believe with all your heart, but confess that what you believe. Speak it out. And if you should get afraid, after all our singers have sung, who enters the pearly gates as a victor? And this is a hymn, one of the first hymns that I heard when I became a believer. We sang it in Russian. We sang it in the Ukraine language. In various languages we sang it. One of the first hymns, who enters the pearly gates as a victor? This song just touches my heart. I not only want to have run, I want to be crowned as a victor. I want, as Paul says, leaving everything behind me and run without being heavy laden. But you all know, all sportsmen who want to win, they don't have a backpack, not with a lot of fuss. They could never reach the goal. We must learn it. I also. But we must learn it together, to cast all our burdens upon the Lord. He cares for us. We have to commit everything to Him, the living God, by faith. And then He will bring it to pass. But if we laid it before Him, then we shall not take it again into our hands. Usually we do it that way. We lay it before the Lord, and then we pick it up again, and then we struggle with it, and then we try to lay it again before Him, and then we pick it up again. Also here it must become different. There must come certainty into us, into our heart, that we know the Lord cares for us. He carries us, and we may cast all our burdens upon Him. Let us summarize it. God has redeemed us in Christ. A perfect reconciliation, an atonement, took place. As the redeemed, we have free access to the throne of grace. The veil was rent. We see the mercy seat. Christ, as the high priest, went with His holy blood into the Holy of Holies to for all who come to Him, who come to the throne of God, to acquit all, to work atonement. As Job has said, or as he prophesied, deliver him, render to man his righteousness that he had before the fall, give it back to him, for I have found a ransom. And we read in Romans of God's righteousness that is given to all who believe. May we believe today, and with this righteousness of God, go home. I read it again. Romans 3, these verses here. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. In particular, it is hereabout, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness. As certain as Jesus Christ bleeded to death on the cross of Calvary, so certain we have received atonement, the forgiveness, and the reconciliation in Him with God. To the faith, this way is free. Faith enters in. It makes use of it. Faith hears it, receives it, and experiences it. Precious heart, may it be so today, as it would be the first time that you hear the divine message, that we all would be touched so deeply. And today, now, would have a new experience with God. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Let us sing the chorus, "Just as I am." Many scriptures could be mentioned. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19. God was in Christ and reconciled the world with himself and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And we cry out as ambassadors in Christ's stead, "Be ye reconciled with God." The wrath of God rests upon all men, but on them who accept redemption, it can no longer rest. For wrath and punishment has struck him who has taken our place. All our guilt and sin was laid on him for our peace, so that we by his stripes can be healed. Only from them who are in Christ Jesus, the wrath of God was taken away. Dear heart, may it be revealed unto you today by the Spirit of God. Look to Calvary by faith in the Spirit. Look on the crucified one, as the hymn writer sings, "He who sees Jesus on the cross by faith is saved in the same hour." Oh, the word of the cross is to them who get lost foolishness, but to them who get saved, it's the power of God. All who believe, today we belong to the believers, to the saved ones. Today, the word of the cross shall become the power of God to us. And that, what happened there for us, shall today happen in us. A finished work of redemption in us. Not only on the cross for us, through the cross in us. Oh, may God grant it by his grace. Don't be grieved as the others who have no hope. The Spirit of God, may he lead us to repentance, to a vow that we say, "O Lord, what made you to endure all this for us and to suffer for us?" And we come to the conclusion, for God so much loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that all who believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. As all heads are bowed and the eyes closed and the hearts opened, may I ask whether we have such in our midst who have not yet received the certainty from God to be reconciled, redeemed, and pardoned. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Today, this is your day, your hour. Receive it. As all remain in prayer, I would like to ask whether some are here who would like to raise their hand for a sign for that they will dedicate their lives to God. Do you want to raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. If the Lord has spoken to you, if he called you and you feel it, You know, it's not the word of a man. It is the word of God. You feel it. He calls you. I ask for the last time. Is somebody here? Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Is somebody here? Then please raise your hand and we pray. God bless you. God bless you. Let us pray. Lord our God, you made us your word so alive. You brought it so nigh to us. We are like those who dream, but we don't dream. We have been awakened. We have seen that you watch over your word to fulfill it. We thank you for every soul, for all who have raised their hands. Faithful God, may they now feel that all condemnation, everything what condemned them, that it was taken away from them. According to the scripture, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will quicken you. I will give you rest for your soul. Lord, there is a rest for the people of God, a peace which is higher than all understanding of men, a salvation that we experienced, as it is written, all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Lord, your message is a message of salvation, a message which brings blessing and salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Faithful Lord, on the cross, you cried out, "It is finished." We believe it. It happened for us. We are redeemed. We thank you today with all our hearts for it. May now a thankfulness break forth in all them and may it flow forth who experienced this redemption, who received it, and who know that they became your own possession. You have found a ransom. You have given back to man the righteousness of God because of the reconciliation. You have taken away our self-righteousness and you have given us the righteousness of God. Thank you for the revelation of the mysteries of the Word, for the opening of our eyes and hearts, that we, with anointed eyes, may see the fulfillment of your Word. Yes, having found the promises in your Word, and with our hearts, we may believe them. Every word of God is a law. You are an executor of your word, and you will fulfill everything. We rest in you and walk forward. May you arise, O Lord, and with a pillar of cloud and fire, may you walk before us. Dear Savior, once again we lay everyone before you who dedicated their lives to you. And we ask you, may the hour soon come that people are grabbed by your Spirit and are pulled under your word, as it was in biblical revivals, as it was on the day of Pentecost, that they come together to then hear what has to be said to them, and that they are then pricked in their hearts, and that they could dedicate their lives to you. With all my heart, I would like to thank you today for that, what you are doing in all the world, in many, many languages and nations. We pray for all of the East and for all of the West. Lord, you are on the throne. Arise, so that all enemies are scattered and are made your footstool. Take the power to you, you the King of the nations. You throne and you dethrone kings. You are Lord and no one else. We thank you for it. Bless us and be with us. Save the lost, heal the sick, and fill us with the Holy Spirit. Once again, we thank you with all our hearts for everything in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Amen.